Hey, Eric.
Hey, Nikki. Hey, I got a question for you.
Oh, okay.
Would you want to go camping with me? I got some supplies. I bought a tent. I'm like pretty excited about it. Yeah.
You know, I don't really go camping. We're not really a camping kind of couple, you know?
But, you know, I thought we'd try it out. We haven't really actually gone camping, so. Well,
where do you want to go camping?
You know, Chattanooga, South America.
Those are very different locations. I feel like one you can get eaten by wild animals, and well, the other one you could probably still get eaten by wild animals, but not as likely in Chattanooga. I have to tell you something, and then you can decide if you want to go camping with me.
Okay, yeah.
And we've been together a long time, and I never have told you this, but the last 4 or 5 times I've gone camping, the person that went camping with me, they all ended up sacrificing their life for me to live. And unfortunately, they're all dead now.
What were the circumstances that they were sacrificing their life to save you?
Okay, like one time there was a bear and my friend just said, "Run, Nikki!" And they just flung themselves in front of the bear and said, "This is for you." And I just ran. Because what do? You run. I don't know. Another time I was just raiding this tomb.
I know you. You love to raid tombs.
And this tribe of natives just attacked me out of nowhere. And it was my friend who was in love with me, but I was not in love with them, said, "Nikki, there's only one of us that can make it out, and I'll sacrifice myself for you." And I said, "No, don't do it." And he said, "Yes, I have to." And so I kissed him and ran out of there.
I'm beginning to have second thoughts on camping with you. Maybe we could just go out and have a picnic or something.
Yeah, that sounds a lot safer. No one has sacrificed themselves for me at a picnic.
Yeah, that sounds better.
Okay, good. Whew. I haven't gotten life insurance out on you yet. You know, you can't be sacrificing yourself for me. Okay, anyways.
Welcome to Press Any Button. I'm Eric.
And I'm Nikki.
And today we're talking about Tomb Raider 2013.
Yeah, we are.
Just Tomb Raider.
Yeah.
They rebooted it, called it the same name as it was in like 1996, I think.
Yeah,
was the original.
Something like that.
Tomb Raider is a 2013 action-adventure game developed by Crystal Dynamics and published by Square Enix's European branch. It is a reboot of the Tomb Raider series, acting as the first installment in the Survivor trilogy that reconstructs the origin of Lara Croft. I was a little bit surprised when I first played this game that it was published by Square Enix, because I so heavily associate them with like Final Fantasy, Mario RPG, but I guess they were just the publisher, not the developer.
Mm-hmm.
So when I saw them like come up in the title screen, I was like, Square Enix made this game? Like, what's going on? Is this an RPG secretly?
Yeah, right.
Oh, and I do want to give a spoiler warning. We will be talking about the story, but you know, it's not really going to ruin the experience if you know the story to the game.
That's true.
So Nikki, what was the first Tomb Raider game you've ever played? Like, when did you get into the series?
So I got into the series when I played, I think it was Rise of the Tomb Raider, the game that came out in 2015.
Oh, so you played that one first.
Yeah. I don't think I knew it was like a part of a trilogy or anything like that. And then I did play the Shadow of a Tomb Raider next, but I actually never played this one until now. So okay. I kind of played them in not the order you're supposed to, but I played the other two so long ago that I really don't remember what happened that much. I mean, I'm sure once I start replaying them again, it'll come back to me. But for now, it's like, fine.
Okay, I thought you had played all three originally, but you never played any of the PlayStation games or any of the older games?
Not really. I remember my brother had a PlayStation 2 growing up, and I think we rented Tomb Raider. I'm not really sure which one, whichever one would have been on PlayStation 2. But we rented one from Blockbuster. So you know you only get to keep it, what, like 2-3 days with those? And I remember playing it for not very long. I immediately got stuck on something and I gave up and quit. Because, I don't know, I just was trying it out and I didn't know how to get past it. So that was about it. So I wouldn't say that that was the game that got me into Tomb Raider or anything. I still haven't gone back and played any of the super old games or anything. So
cool.
Probably Tomb Raider, Rise of the Tomb Raider.
Gotcha. Okay.
So I was able to find some good history on this game, and we'll get into it if you're ready.
Yeah, as opposed to the bad kind of history. I like the good kind of history.
Yeah. Hey, you know how it is. Sometimes you can't find anything.
True.
I want to say that this game is called Tomb Raider, so they made it really confusing for everybody by naming it the same thing as the very first Tomb Raider game. So we'll just be calling this Tomb Raider 2013 to relieve all confusion.
Yeah, I really can't stand when companies do that. So now we have to go back and refer to the original Tomb Raider as Tomb Raider 1996.
Which
I don't know why that pisses me off so much. It just adds an extra step.
It's because like the whole reason is they didn't want to change the name. With them doing that, they had to change what people call it. So it's not a good plan. Okay, yeah. People. Me and Eric do not like this. So just be creative and come up with a whole new original title, please.
It's funny because as much as, you know, we say we don't like it, it actually probably works at like reiterating the fact that this is a reboot. I mean, like when God of War did it, it worked really well for them. Like Tomb Raider did it, it paid off. It worked really well, indicated that it was a reboot, but yeah, I still don't like it.
It's just, you know, if you have to do a podcast where you're trying to be all factual and stuff, it makes it a little more difficult.
Yeah. It also makes it really a little bit harder if you're trying to search for the original game,
mm-hmm.
where, you know, you type in Tomb Raider into Google, it comes up with a 2013 game.
Exactly. Oh my gosh. So yeah. Anyways, we'll just call it Tomb Raider 2013. And so this game really started back in 2008. So Lo by Flo Rida and T-Pain was topping the charts. Everybody was getting low in the club.
Like what
in their apple bottom jeans. Anyway.
What were you doing in 2008?
2008, I was probably in the clubs.
Were you still?
I was in college then, and I did go out a lot and stuff. So I was probably dancing the Lo by Flo Rida. I did like that song a lot back in the day. But Tomb Raider Underworld also came out that year. And so after that, Crystal Dynamics, who is the development team for Tomb Raider, they basically get split into two teams. So one team is focused on the newly created spin-off Lara Croft series, which the first game in that, which is the one that they're working on, was called Lara Croft and the Guardian of Light. Have you ever heard of that game before?
No.
So it wasn't technically a Tomb Raider branded game from what it says online, but it is a Lara Croft game.
Huh.
So that's why it's called a spin-off series, I guess. From what I read online, it's more of a two-player game. It's like a co-op.
It's weird to not call it a Tomb Raider game and have Lara Croft in it. It's like
having
Mario in a game and not calling it a Mario game.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. I guess because it's not called Tomb Raider. It's called Lara Croft and blah, 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 blah. I don't know. Anyways, one of the teams is working on that game. And then the other team is working on the next actual Tomb Raider branded game, which is what we're talking about today, Tomb Raider 2013.
Okay.
So
did that hurt their development being like at half capacity or whatever? Or was that just like not that big of a deal for them?
I don't know. I'm assuming at this point that they probably had a big enough team to where they were like, okay, we can actually work on two games at a time now.
Okay, yeah.
Because at this point, you know, the Tomb Raider games are pretty popular and they've sold a bunch. So the interesting thing is, rather than doing another sequel, so a sequel to Tomb Raider Underworld, they decided that the next game they would do would be a reboot. So Tomb Raider 2013 is actually the second reboot that they've done Lara Croft, you know, or the Tomb Raider series.
So the first reboot then had already happened?
Yeah. So the first reboot was Tomb Raider Legend, which came out in 2006.
Okay. Yeah, I guess you wouldn't have known that wasn't a reboot because they didn't just call it Tomb Raider.
Exactly.
Would have been funny if they called it the 2006 one Tomb Raider, and then they called this one Tomb Raider again, and then there would have been three Tomb
then
Raiders.
Then we really would have been like, you know what grinds my gears? So if you had to guess on which game Tomb Raider 2013 was in the series, what number do you think it is?
Chronologically?
Yeah.
Like, there are a lot of Tomb Raider games. I know that. Like maybe the sixth or the seventh one.
Yeah, that's. I was thinking like the fifth one when we were playing it. It's actually the 10th game.
That's nuts.
And just to do a quick recap of the major entries of the game until now, we had 1996 Tomb Raider, 1997 Tomb Raider 2, 1998 Tomb Raider 3, 1999 Tomb Raider The Last Revelation, 2000 Tomb Raider Chronicles, 2003 Tomb Raider The Angel of Darkness. I personally do love that title. And then 2006, Tomb Raider Legend, 2007, Tomb Raider Anniversary, and then 2008, Tomb Raider Underworld. So those are basically all the main entries of the series until the game we're talking about now, Tomb Raider 2013.
Yeah, it also doesn't feel like there's much of a gap between years between games.
No.
Until you get between 2008 and 2013, because that actually is a lot longer development time, mm-hmm. I feel like, than a lot of these, a lot of the other games. And maybe that's one of the reasons why it was so much more successful.
Mm-hmm. And I think that once you start getting into PlayStation 3 and up, it just takes longer to develop those games as well.
True. Good point.
Because you can just have so much more detail.
Yeah.
So according to Shaq News, Crystal Dynamics...
Wait, Shaquille O'Neal has his own news. Sorry, I couldn't resist.
S-H-A-C-K News. Crystal Dynamics wasn't actually guaranteed to be able to make this game. They had to come up with something creative to be able to make the next game. So that's, I think, why they decided to do a reboot, is so they could start over fresh.
Okay.
Apparently, the fandom had been dwindling, and the games, I guess, maybe weren't hitting as hard as they were. And so they really needed to kind of like refresh, restart over, and like I think the reboot was probably a good idea.
Yeah, I agree with you. It when you have like 9 entries in the series, it's kind of like hard to follow it. Like, okay, if I'm buying this new Tomb Raider game, am I going to understand what's going on, or do I have to play all 8 other Tomb Raider games first?
Exactly. Yeah, and it starts to be a lot.
Yeah.
But when they were coming up with this new idea, they also landed on what they call the 4 pillars of Lara's adventures. So the 4 pillars that really make up Tomb Raider games: combat, traversal, puzzle solving, and exploration. Do you think that those are pretty accurate?
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I assume by traversal, they mean like jumping out of falling buildings and like running down like slopes and stuff like that.
I think so, because you can travel in a lot of different ways in this game. Like obviously you can walk and run, but there's a lot of climbing, There's a lot of zip lining kind of stuff, crawling. So I'm imagining that that's what they're talking about, is just all the different kind of terrains and the ways you have to move through the world.
I assume it's when she's crossing a bridge and it's falling down one plank of wood at a time. Oh, and yeah. She's able to like...
Exactly.
I love that in these action games where it's like, that's not really how something collapses. It doesn't just collapse one board at a time.
Okay, like if you're looking for realism, Tomb Raider is not your game, okay? Or really any kind of action adventure game.
No, I know.
But yeah.
you got to put your reality senses aside when you're playing some of these games.
So part of the big rebrand / reboot / whatever was to shift the focus away from Lara being seen as just eye candy and move more towards the adventure side of her story and her personality and everything. So they replaced her short shorts and too tight shirt with pants and a ribbed tank top. And
wait, so the ripped tank top is not
ribbed,
sexy?
Ribbed.
Oh
my gosh. I know I have a southern accent, but geez.
Sorry, I thought you said ripped.
The developers also crafted brutal survival sequences into the game, which have Lara patching up her own wounds to focus on her grit and resolve. So, yeah, they want to shift her more towards any male character and being more known for her adventures and what she's doing and not what she's wearing.
Yeah, and to be honest, like, one of the reasons I hadn't played any of the Tomb Raider games was because I always assumed they were really bad just because of how they marketed them.
Yeah.
Which they were always marketed as, like, oh, look how sexy Lara Croft is, mm-hmm. versus, like, oh, is this game any fun?
Yeah.
Like, what do you do in the game? Like, I have no idea. You have sexy Lara Croft, though.
And that's... I know. Look at her giant boobs. They're pointy. That's what I remember, too. But yeah, so they want to shift the focus more towards the actual gameplay and being less like shallow and everything. Another addition to this game was multiplayer mode, which hadn't happened before on a Tomb Raider game. And because they had that, it actually ended up delaying the game a little bit. It was originally supposed to be released in the fall of 2012, but in order to finish up all the new stuff they were adding, it wasn't released until spring 2013.
I guess we missed the boat on the multiplayer stuff, though.
Exactly. So March 5th, 2013 is when Tomb Raider 2013 was released for PlayStation 3, Windows, and Xbox 360. Then the remastered definitive edition, which is what we played, was released January 2014 for PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. And this is kind of nuts, but the Windows version of the definitive edition did not come out until April 2024.
So this year.
So yeah, they just now got the remastered version of that for PC. Is that not crazy?
Yeah, I mean, I guess they were not planning on releasing it at all. And then suddenly someone decided, like, oh, we better put this on Windows for some reason, I guess.
Yeah, like, why not?
Yeah.
But yeah, if you were waiting for it to come out on Windows, you didn't have a PlayStation or anything, that would have been super annoying.
Yeah, I mean, it's still a good game, though. So if you wanted it for Windows, I wonder if the multiplayer works. Or how that, if it's brand new, you could actually maybe play the multiplayer if it just came out.
I don't know.
Huh, yeah, I'm curious about that. If you own Tomb Raider 2013 for Windows, which came out 2024, do you play multiplayer on it? Like, does the multiplayer work? Did it release with multiplayer? I don't know.
Yeah, let us know. Anyways, so are you ready for some fun facts?
Yeah.
All right.
Let's do some fun facts.
Yeah. So fun fact number one, the game's opening line, quote, "The extraordinary is in what we do, not who we are," is not actually a real quote. However, it is likely a combination of two famous quotes.
Oh, wait. So they open the game with a quote.
Yeah.
And it's like a fake quote.
And it's a fake quote. Yeah.
That's hilarious.
So the two quotes that, like, it's probably a combination of. The first one is, quote, "People do not choose to become extraordinary. They choose to do extraordinary things," end quote. And that is Sir Edmund Hillary, who led the first team to reach the summit of Mount Everest. And then the second quote is, quote, "A human act, once set in motion, flows on forever to the great account. Our deathlessness is in what we do, not in what we are," end quote. George Meredith, Victorian era novelist and poet. So yeah, it sounds like it would be a real quote, and maybe someone has said it at some point in time, but it's not a real quote that anyone's ever actually documented.
So they didn't put a name with the quote. They just have like the quote there. Yes. And this is probably where it might have came from.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Fun fact number two. This game is the first in the series to have an M for mature rating from the ESRB and 18 rating from the PEGI.
That's crazy because, like, I don't know if you've ever heard this old urban legend about, like, I think the original Tomb Raider game. But there was like a series of like inputs you could do like as a nude code for it.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, like it didn't work. I definitely remember hearing that urban legend and stuff like that. And even I think trying it at some point.
You probably definitely tried it.
I'm trying to remember how I would have. Maybe it was on a pirated copy of the game because I never owned the game.
But yeah, they were always rated teen, I think, or teen was the highest one until this series.
Yeah, but what I was saying, like, it's rated mature, but like there's no nudity really. So.
Yeah, it's more for the gore and things like that. So,
yeah.
All right. And fun fact number three, this is the last game with and the end of Laura's iconic dual pistols. So in this reboot, Laura builds her arsenal as she progresses in the game. And through the series, she carries a pistol, but she only carries one instead of two.
Her iconic look is with the two pistols.
Yeah. So in this series, they really introduce the bow and like make that her main kind of weapon. The beloved pistols do make a brief comeback for a little bit, but after this game, you pretty much don't see the double pistols anymore.
The double pistols are like right at the end of the game.
Yeah. So I guess I never really played any of the older games, but you said that was one of the main things that she was kind of known for, is having those pistols, and you would do the double triggers like pew 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 pew.
Yeah, I remember even as far back as the very first game, that was like her main method of attack was like the double pistols.
Yeah, so I think in an effort to take you back to this being Laura's very first adventure and like she's young and everything like that, I think the idea is like she wouldn't be as well versed with pistols quite yet, you know, like that's more later when she gets more and more like hardcore. But this is the last game that you see the dual pistols in, at least the new ones so far.
So they don't,
so I thought that was kind of interesting.
Funny. They don't have it in the other two games, the other Survivor games.
I guess not. Yeah,
games. That's a little surprising.
Yeah. So those are the fun facts.
Cool. And I added that bonus one about the urban legend.
Yeah, that no one knew. Just kidding.
If you can input the nude code, let us know.
Oh my God. Anyway. No one's doing that anymore, Eric.
It can be done.
We've all grown up and matured, okay?
Yeah, those are some pointy boobs you would have gotten to look at, too. It's like just a polygonal or just a triangle, pretty much.
Yeah.
Anyway, do you want to talk a little bit about the story?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right.
So like I said, this is her first, like, expedition.
And her intention is to find the lost kingdom of Yamatai.
Mm-hmm.
Her ship is then struck by a violent storm and split in two, leaving the survivor stranded on the island.
Yeah, and it's really bad.
Yeah, the first thing that happens is she gets separated from the others and she gets, like, kidnapped by a deranged scavenger guy who hangs her up instead of killing her.
For some reason.
I don't know what it is with the trope of the protagonist being, like, hung up.
And the only one that doesn't get killed.
Yeah.
It's like everyone else. It's like else. They'll
hang them up with a bunch of dead bodies. Usually, like, you know, if you're a butcher or something, you're hanging up a dead body to drain out the blood or something. Mm-hmm. But they're leaving the protagonists alive. They're just hanging them up with all the other dead bodies, I guess, that are being
drained. I don't know. It doesn't make any sense.
I don't understand it. Like, we're not going to put you in a cage. We're going to hang you up.
But look, if you're playing Tomb Raider for all things to make sense, you pick the wrong series. Go somewhere else.
I think of, like, The Evil Within, the beginning of that game.
It's so there can be more game. Yeah. Okay, if they die, then that's the end. All right.
Anyway, sorry. I'm just separate weird rant. Yeah. But anyway, she escapes. She kills the scavenger guy. When Laura finally reunites with the other survivors, she and Whitman, which is like kind of the professor guy, the glasses.
Mm-hmm. Kind of seems like a douche.
Yeah, the douchebag. decide to break from the main party to search for Roth, who is still missing. Whitman, of course, immediately surrenders to the Islanders because he's an ass, and Laura manages to break free.
Yeah.
Laura then locates Grimm, who then sacrifices himself to save her. Mm-hmm. Laura then locates Roth, who then sacrifices himself to save her. Laura then locates Alex, who then sacrifices himself to save her. I feel like that's confession. Like you're going like point to point. You run into the survivor and he sacrifices
confession
himself.
I am Laura Croft here. And those are all my camping buddies.
Those are all your camping buddies. Oh no.
It is crazy how everyone just dies when they're around her. It's like, oh, are you secretly Dexter over here? Anyways.
Also, that weird last sacrifice was Alex, who Laura then kisses. They didn't really like set that up. Like, they didn't really show any interest.
It came off really kind of skeezy on Laura's part. Like, this kiss will make up for you for the dying. Fact that
you're dying for me.
Because I'm so awesome and beautiful.
Yeah, that felt weird. There's really no romantic interest at all in this game, so maybe they wanted something thrown in. It just feels thrown in. It doesn't really fit very well.
Yeah, I mean, she kind of reads this diary entry, like one of his diary entries, and I think maybe he mentions he likes her or something, and maybe that's why. But I didn't like fully read the journal entry because there's like too many of those.
Yeah, there were a lot.
Be reading them all, so.
It would have probably doubled the game length if you sat there exactly. And read them all. So, yeah, also Laura's best friend Sam is a descendant of the Sun Queen or something, who the other islanders are trying to resurrect, or I guess the native islanders. Mm-hmm. You could call them natives. I don't know. They're not really natives. They're all people who kind of like ended up on this island.
Yeah.
Basically, like, once you get on the island, it's impossible to leave because any, like, boat gets destroyed by storms or any plane.
It's, like, protected by supernatural forces, basically. Yeah.
Or the Sun Queen.
So they kidnap Sam because they want to basically, like, take her soul and put it into the Sun Queen's, like, statue or something.
Yeah, that's
it's weird.
Yeah, something about, like, I thought they wanted to resurrect her into Sam's body or something.
I don't know. At the end, they had, like, that weird soul-sucking thing going into the statue. I don't know.
Okay, maybe. Yeah, maybe that's
what they were doing. The story is a little, like, I don't know, not that important, I feel like.
It's really not that important. Whitman, of course, continues to betray everyone until he's killed by a samurai, I think, for trying to enter the monastery where they're having the ritual. Mm-hmm. I'm not quite sure why the samurai kills him.
Because he's a jerk. That's why.
Well, it looks like, okay, he goes to talk to the samurai kills him, and then the main bad guy like runs into the temple or the monastery or whatever to avoid the samurai, but then the samurai are kind of working with him too, so I don't know. That was a little bit confusing. And then Laura shoots the main bad guy off a cliff with the double pistols. Sam is saved. The curse preventing people from leaving the island is lifted because I guess the Sun Queen died in the transition. Like, why didn't the islanders just try to, like, kill the Sun Queen somehow? I don't know.
They didn't know that was an option.
Yeah. It seemed like resurrecting her would have just made the situation where they can't leave the island worse.
Yeah, right.
But killing her seemed to do the trick. Anyway, that's the story. It's definitely not the strongest aspect of this game. There are a lot of really good things about this game. The story is just kind of like, okay, you're moving Laura from point A to point B.
Yeah. And you kind of have some motivation to save your friend and stuff. But
you want to talk about some of the stuff you like about the game?
Yeah, so the first thing I'll say is this is just a really good action-adventure game that is nicely balanced in gameplay, like with puzzles and platforming, exploring and loot and combat.
Yeah, this to me like was when these action-adventure games kind of started getting their current identity, which mm-hmm. is like mixing up some RPG elements into the action adventure part, which makes the game so much better because it's not like you're not just going from point A to point B. You're also, you know, upgrading equipment and skills and like,
yeah,
you're building a character. And I feel like that makes the action adventure experience like just so much more pleasant.
Yeah. It's almost kind of like standard at this point to have those built in sort of upgrades and skills and all that.
Yeah, the progression systems that make up these games.
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, one of the things I like is just the fact that, you know, the game's over 10 years old now and it still plays really well. I mean, this is a really solid game.
Mm-hmm.
Like if this game came out like a few years ago, it would still
hold up.
It would still probably do well.
Yeah, other than a few like some of the hair like graphics and stuff, it really does look excellent. Like it almost looks new.
Yeah, the graphics all look good too. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm surprised how old it is based on how good it looks. And I mean
they did remaster it, but they remastered it a long time ago.
We're playing the definitive edition, which came out in 2014. Yeah. So that's still like 10 years.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the only time I even noticed it was an older game was when I looked at the hair. Like, there would be parts where Laura was hanging upside down.
And her hair.
But her hair would still be, like, up near her face and stuff. It's like, oh, where's gravity, huh? But, like, that's really the only time it would kind of take me out of it and be like, oh, yeah, I'm playing an old game. Because everything else did look really good.
Yeah.
I do like playing as Laura Croft. She is, like, just an overall iconic character, just as far as like the history of video games goes. I mean, it's cool to get to play as a female character, even though she might not be the best character ever, but it's still cool as a female to play as a female character.
Yeah, and I like her character pretty well in these like grittier, I guess this is like a grittier Lara Croft,
mm-hmm.
in this more mature environment where she gets to murder as many people as she wants. I mean, yeah. I guess she's always been able to murder people, but I don't know.
Yeah.
It just feels like she's less cliche, maybe.
Yeah, I know in the earlier games, she didn't really kill a lot of people.
It's more like just animals.
It was like maybe she killed like 6 humans or something before for this game or something. So they definitely...
That's not true. I've definitely seen some older games where you're gunning down people for sure.
I don't know, maybe that was just like the very first game or something, but anyways, I did read that like this one is definitely more murdery than some of the others.
I thought the game length was about perfect. This is about, you know, 8 to 12 hours,
mm-hmm.
if you're not trying to 100% it. But yeah, it feels about right for a good action game like this.
Yeah, I actually played through this game twice in a row. I played it on normal mode, and then I played it right after on hard mode. And so I definitely liked it enough to play it twice in a row, which is already better than like 85% of the games that I play. But yeah, I like the variety of weapons that she has and the ability to level up your skills and all that we talked about with the... What was it called?
Progression systems.
Yeah, the progression system. It wasn't like overly complicated either, which I appreciated because I've definitely played other action adventure games where there's like 15 pages you have to look at, you know, like all this, like 25 skills to upgrade. This one was not so complicated. It was kind of simple, which I can appreciate. It's like not as overwhelming.
Yeah, and I've also determined that I could never be an action hero because I cannot upgrade weapons and firearms with just random pieces of metal I find lying around.
Oh yeah, I'm not crafty enough.
It's just like, yeah, I found 100 pieces of metal, let me make this gun shoot bullets that hurt more.
Yeah, right. Don't question it, okay? Just go with it.
It's not just Lara Croft or this game or whatever. It's every let me upgrade my handgun with these different pieces of metal.
Because nobody wants to go actually find the real parts, okay?
But yeah, just the fact that I can't work on guns. But anyway.
I'm sure that when this game came out, the multiplayer mode was probably pretty cool. And I do think it's interesting that they added it to this. I just wish that we would have got to play that, because every time we tried to play multiplayer mode, we couldn't really get it to find a party for us to play with because it's so old. So
it seemed like it was working, though. It seemed like it was functioning. Like, I got into a room with some people, but it's like,
it never would like start the round.
Yeah, it's like not enough people would join for a game to start.
Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to add that because I think it was cool that they put it on there. But when we get to the cons, we'll talk about it some more.
Okay.
Another thing I like is the open map. You have a lot of places to explore, but it's not overwhelmingly huge. It's not like an endless open world or anything.
Yeah.
But you definitely have a lot to go through, a lot to find, a lot of side quests you can do that's not just the main story.
Yeah, a lot of like little things, platforming things, like, oh, if you look up in this tree, you can figure out how to get up to this platform. Mm-hmm. And there's like, you know, items up there that you can collect.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's lots of stuff like that in this game, which makes it fun to explore.
Yeah, I like that because it's like, it makes you pay attention to if anything is kind of out of place or anything like that. You're like, oh, well, maybe I should go explore that. Maybe there's a waterfall that you can walk behind, or
there's
a GPS cache in the water, you know, or like something like that.
There's always a waterfall you can walk behind.
That's true.
Always try to walk behind the waterfall. It's like gaming 101. There's probably something behind the waterfall.
Yeah. What's something else you like?
That's it for me.
Okay. I have a couple more things.
All right. Yeah, go
ahead. I think the fast travel is always nice to have. I don't know if this is like one of the first games to do it or anything, but it feels like that was probably like a newer advancement when this game came out, and it's nice that they have it. I also like that they actually have a bunch of different outfits for you to try, which you can earn throughout the game. And so if you want to just like, there's like 10 different outfits, or maybe 8, something like that. But there's like a good amount that you can switch through. And then I also like the music for this game. I think the music is really good.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty good. It fit pretty well with the game.
Yeah. So do you want to move on to the cons?
Yeah, I didn't have a lot of cons, but I did have a few.
Okay, I have some also.
I wouldn't say that the story is bad, but it's not really anything to write home about. It's got the typical cliche action points. Overall, I would say that the story is, just a bit cliche.
Yeah. I kind of knew what was going on, but it didn't really matter that much.
Yeah.
I knew enough. The story was there enough to make the game progress, but it wasn't like you really needed to pay a lot of attention to it.
Yeah, and you know, it overly leans into people sacrificing themselves for Laura.
Oh my gosh. Why is everyone sacrificing themselves for Laura? Like she's some kind of freaking, like, I don't know, like she's an actual goddess or something, you know?
It's like when it happens once in the story, it can be like a really powerful moment. But when it happens over and over again, it's like, okay, this isn't as powerful as it's intended
exactly.
to be.
It just kind of makes Laura seem like she's not that great of a person.
Yeah, that she's using all these people.
Yeah, and then she just lets everyone treat her like she's better than she really is.
Yeah.
Without putting up much of a fight.
What's something that you didn't like?
Yeah, I think Laura as a character could use more depth, more layers, more emotional range. She could definitely just be a more developed character, I think.
Like what, as far as emotional range goes, like what, like...
know, she never really seemed super sad when these people were sacrificing themselves for her, you know? Not that we want to have a whole scene where she's, like, gets depressed or anything, because, like, the game must go on.
She acknowledges their death, sadly, for at least
a couple seconds. Like, when she tells the other people on the team or her squad or whatever that someone dies at this point, it's like, they already know. You know, if someone goes off with Laura, they're not coming back. And the only person that has the balls to say something is Reyes. But even she kind of, like, goes back on it and starts sucking up to Laura at the end of the game anyway. So it's like, you're all just as bad as the other one. I just think, like, she could just have more to her. Like, there's not... Like we said, the story isn't the main thing for this game. So I think if they did want to go more into her story and everything and, like, just have her have more emotional range and stuff, get sad, get happy, you know? Like, she kind of stays the same emotion almost the whole time. So
she is clearly very sad for those few seconds right after those people sacrifice themselves for her.
But even when she finds something cool, she doesn't really get that excited or anything. And I think in the next couple games that I played, you know, you do learn more about her. I don't know. She could just be improved upon, is all I'm saying.
Okay. Fair enough. So one of my cons is just the fact that hard isn't very hard.
I have that. Like, the difference between normal and hard mode is not hardly any different.
Yeah, it doesn't feel that different.
Yeah, hardly at all. You can barely tell during the boss fights that it's a little bit harder. But yeah, that's one of my main things is, like, this game could be harder. If you're on hard mode, I expect to die somewhat often, for me anyways. And I played the whole game and I think I died maybe like once at the final boss.
Yeah.
And that was about it. So I don't think hard mode is hard.
I mean, hard mode feels like what normal should be.
Yeah.
And then there needs to be like a more challenging mode. I mean, I don't.
Exactly.
I thought hard was fine, but yeah, it felt like there should have been like a more challenging mode.
I mean, since I did play normal and hard back to back, it was really easy to compare, and I could hardly tell a difference. Like, they really should have amped up the hardness.
The difficulty on hard.
Or at least add, like, a expert level or something. If you're not going to make hard super hard, at least have another level that is hard, like God mode or expert level or whatever it would be for Lara Croft.
I agree. What's something else you didn't like?
So for this game in particular, it's only autosave, basically. You can't just save the game, like, whenever you want, which I feel like most action-adventure games do have that, where you can save whenever you want. But in this one, you just have to hope that it's hope that it saved your last thing that you did.
I mean, did you have any issues where it didn't save something after you quit?
There was, like, one or two times where I had to replay, like, an area, but it wasn't anything too bad.
I couldn't recall like having to replay anything, but as long as you were stopping like at the fireplaces, I thought that was like the save point.
The campfires, fireplaces.
Whatever.
You make it sound bougie. And then, like we were talking about earlier, the multiplayer didn't work. Like, we tried to play it like two or three times. We tried to get into a round and it could never find us enough people to play with. But I think that's just because the game's really old.
Yeah.
So there's not a lot of people getting on there.
Like I said, I was surprised that it looked like it was still functioning at all.
Same, because on the home screen it says that, like, Square Enix isn't up and running anymore, basically. I mean, that's not the exact words, but
I mean,
it,
like,
pretty much says that.
Square Enix is still around.
I mean, but it was like that their services weren't something like along those lines. So
the servers for the game.
The fact that it even kind of like acted like it was going to put you in a game was weird, but whatever.
So my final con is just this game is still a bit glitchy. You would have thought with how long it's been out and stuff that they would have ironed out most of the glitches.
But yeah.
I did have the game softlock once on me, where Laura was just like frozen in place, basically.
Yeah. There was a couple places where I got stuck. Like, it let me jump into an area and then I couldn't get out of that area and I had to restart the game. Yeah, just like little things, like I would jump, but then the character wouldn't jump or something like that, you know?
Yeah.
Where it's like, okay, sometimes that is my fault, but like, I know this is not my fault.
I jumped game, come on.
Yeah, and then like I said, a couple of times where it didn't save exactly what I had done, so I had to replay a little bit.
Yeah, it's a pain.
Oh, and the biggest thing is the trophy glitch. Like, I spent so much time 100%ing all the areas, getting all the documents, getting all the relics, exploring all the tombs. I checked it off. Each area, 100%, 100%, 100%. And it did not give me the trophy for getting all of the documents and everything. And so I went online and I was like, okay, is this just me? And it's not. A lot of people were complaining about the same thing. So
yeah,
they never did fix the trophy glitch. And I'm like, you know how completist people are. Like, but it did make me mad because I was going to try to 100% everything. But then once I figured out it wasn't giving me all the trophies, I was like, final 99% the game.
Yeah. And it's like, yeah, the game's 10 years old. Like, you could have ironed out some trophies. Of those glitches.
The only thing that I needed to do that I had left was to finish upgrading my pistol all the way. But every other little thing I did. So I'm just going to say I 100%ed it in my brain. It counts.
Sure. All right. Any other cons?
No, that's all I got. All right. Overall, I really like this game. It's a really good action-adventure game. And there's a reason that Tomb Raider is probably one of the most popular games ever made.
Yeah. Let's talk about strategy. So
all right.
What's your strategy for approaching this game?
So like we kind of mentioned before, is make sure you level up your weapons and skills pretty much as soon as you can. As soon as you see a campfire, run over there. And if you have a skill or anything, just upgrade. The sooner you can upgrade, the sooner you can reap the benefits of that sweet, sweet upgraded weapon. So
I would say raid all those optional tombs. I don't know why they're optional, but
I know it's like Tomb Raider optional tombs. Like, no, the tombs should be mandatory. Okay. Yeah,
the game's called Tomb Raider, but yeah, they show up on the map when you're close to them, so you can find them pretty easily that mm-hmm. way. They're also like pretty fun puzzles, and the game isn't really that all that long anyway, so
yeah, just do all the tombs,
just do them all.
I would say that when possible, being sneaky and stealthy is always a good idea. You know, save your... Not that I really had any issues with running out of ammo.
Yeah, this game gives you a ridiculous... Even on hard mode, I was like running into just loads of ammo all over the place.
Yeah.
I was like... I was almost never not completely full on every single weapon of ammo.
It's more about not getting caught than it is wasting ammo or using ammo. It's just like you don't want to alert all 50 soldiers that you're there. Because when they come at you all at once, it is like kind of hard to not die.
Yeah, you want to pick
a few
of them
off.
So
if you're sneaky, you can just kind of move through and kill them as you come to them and not have them all ambush you.
Yeah.
That's something else you got?
I would say if you want to level up and gather resources, there are areas in the map where animals will continuously respawn.
Mm-hmm.
But once you've killed so many animals, the game will say like you've over hunted them, and so it will make them worth a lot less in resources.
Yeah.
So,
but if you want to get that Taste Like Chicken trophy, you can cheat and stand where the chickens respawn, like someone I know.
That's not my fault. The game decided just to randomly respawn a bunch of chickens in one area. It's like, yeah, I would shoot a chicken and I would look away and I'd look back and there'd be another chicken there. It's like, yeah. It's like, hey, this isn't too bad.
Jackpot.
Yeah. All the chickens you could ever want to shoot.
Yeah. And if you're doing a puzzle or you're in a puzzle area, just take a second and look around and explore all the things that you can use before you start doing random stuff. Because you're not going to get the puzzle if you don't look around and see a whole area of stuff you're supposed to be doing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're just using like half of the tools that you're supposed to be using or something like that. So I know it's like tempting to just start working on the puzzle right away, but just take a second, look around and see all the things you can interact with, and then think about it for a second. I think it will help you with the puzzles.
I like just going head first into the puzzle and just doing the thing.
Okay, well, that's not strategy, okay?
Yeah, we all have different ways we like to solve puzzles.
I'm just saying that's how I did it at first. And then there was like a few things that I could interact with that I didn't even know was over there. And I was wondering why I wasn't getting this puzzle. And I was like, there's like this whole thing over here I'm supposed to do. So like for me, you know, it did help.
Yeah, explore the entire area. I see what you're saying. Mm-hmm. Okay.
It helps for loot and stuff too. And especially if you're trying to 100% all the little like checklist things. What is the mode called? Like the skill mode?
Survival instinct?
Survival instinct. Yeah, that really helps a lot. Especially, like, there's one area where you have to gather all these mushrooms. And the mushrooms are tiny. So, if you're not thorough, obviously you're not going to get them all.
Yeah, I'm hitting that button for that that skill, like, every few seconds. Because yeah. I really am, like, trying to search for stuff as I walk around and explore.
The only crappy thing is as soon as you start moving, the survival instincts goes off.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, you have to keep pressing the button over and over.
Yeah, yeah, just keep flashing it up.
But it's, like, flashing back and forth. It's like, whoa, too much.
Too much
stimulation. Yeah.
All right, anything else for strategy?
Nah, that's about it.
All right, so moving on to the future, what's the thing that's going on with Tomb Raider?
All right, so April 2025. So this year, they just released 1 through 3, like the original Tomb Raiders remastered. So April next year, they are releasing Tomb Raider 4 through 6 remastered.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So if you want to play
a lot of games.
Yeah, if you want to go back and play some of the older games.
I know. Maybe I need to go back and play these original ones, especially now that they're remastered. I really am curious to see how different and how much better it is.
Yeah, I'd be curious too. I haven't really played most of the older games.
Yeah. So I'm sure that's really exciting for all the like OG Tomb Raider fans out there. I know our friend Shelby was pretty excited that they remastered 1 through 3. I think she got it, so I'll have to like check back in with her and see if it's worth it or not.
Cool. So there is a new game, like the fourth Tomb Raider game was announced.
Mm-hmm.
It was announced back in 2022, and I guess at some point Amazon had bought the
like
studio
publishing rights for it or something.
Yeah, either the publishing rights or Crystal Dynamics itself, or mm-hmm. Yeah, I wasn't really sure, but they are going to make a new game. And it sounds like it's getting closer, but they still haven't announced a release date for it.
Yeah.
I guess the working title, I don't know if this is what it's going to be called, was like Tomb Raider Next.
Yeah.
Which I don't know if that's a great name or not. It doesn't sound that great.
Hey, at least it's not Tomb Raider 2025 or something.
Tomb Raider The Revenge.
Yeah, exactly. So Eric, did you find anything else for the future?
I did find one other thing. It was actually something that happened this year. There was an animated series that was released on Netflix.
Oh, yeah.
Called Tomb Raider, The Legend of Lara Croft.
Oh, yeah. I remember seeing that on Netflix, but I haven't watched it.
I haven't seen it either, so I have no idea, but that's another Tomb Raider thing that exists.
Oh, I do actually have one more thing. Amazon Prime has agreed to do a live action Tomb Raider series, but again, there's no release date for that yet. But as of like a month ago, I've heard that Sophie Turner is supposed to be playing Lara Croft, but again, I couldn't find any solid release date for that or any solid confirmation that Sophie Turner is like 100% signed on or anything.
I have no idea who that is.
She was in Game of Thrones. She was pretty popular. She was in the new X-Men series.
Okay.
She's a good actress.
Cool.
Really pretty, too.
I believe you.
I think with brown hair, she normally has red hair or blonde hair. So they would probably have to give her a brunette hairstyle. But I think she could definitely work.
Yeah, that's exciting. So there's a whole bunch of stuff going on with Tomb Raider.
I know. Tomb Raider be popping.
All right. Moving on.
Yeah. So, Eric, did you beat the game with the trophy Tastes Like Chicken?
Yes, I did slaughter all those chickens like you wanted me to. I'm not sure.
There's only 10, okay?
I'm not sure why you hate chickens so much, but...
Hey, because they're delicious, and I thought that was a funny title for a trophy.
Yeah, so I beat it on difficult.
You mean hard?
Yeah, I beat it on hard, and I killed a bunch of chickens, yeah.
Good job. So proud of you. That's my husband, y'all.
Honestly, I don't know what else you could have given me as a challenge other than like maybe 100% the game or something.
Yeah, maybe like find all the GPS caches or like something like that.
It's not like there was an extreme difficulty to play on or anything.
Yeah. So, good job. You did the challenge.
Cool. Yeah. Are you wondering about the next game?
Yeah, I was just about to ask you. What game did you pick?
Okay, so... Do you want to make any guesses right off the bat?
Is it Star Wars?
No, it's
not. Some kind of Star Wars game?
No kind of Star Wars game.
Okay, because you bought like 8 Star Wars games.
It was a pack.
For the Switch recently.
It was like $30 for like 8 Star Wars games.
It's all you've been playing for the most part, other than Tomb Raider.
It's 8 games. All right.
So I was like worried that you were going to pick one of those because they all look really old.
Yeah, this is like PS2 era.
Yeah. So is it any of those?
No, it's not a Star Wars game.
Okay. Is it a game that you got for Christmas?
No,
Final
it's not.
Fantasy X or Link's Awakening for the Nintendo 3DS?
No, it's none of those. It's a game we've already had.
All right. Okay. What is it?
It's in our library. I'll give you a hint. We saw a movie with him in it recently.
Sonic.
Yeah, Sonic. But which one?
I don't know. There's like 50 games. Probably more than 50, honestly.
So.
Sonic 2. I know there's like a whole bunch of those, right?
A whole bunch of Sonic 2s.
Or was that Frogger 2 that had a bunch of 2s?
Yeah, that was Frogger.
But I thought Sonic had a bunch of them too when we did Mallory's episode.
No, I don't think that was a fun fact. Okay. Sonic. I think you're thinking of Frogger. We actually do own Sonic 2, but it's not Sonic 2.
Okay. Anyways, which Sonic is it?
So I did want to do like an old school Sonic game. So I picked like a newer version. It's like a new old Sonic game. So it's called Sonic Mania.
Okay.
So it plays like the old Sonic games, but it's like a newer version. So you can save and stuff like that.
Oh, okay. All right.
But yeah, I feel like it does a really good job of capturing what made those old Sonic games so good.
Okay. So Sonic Mania
is
the name of the game. And what's the challenge?
The challenge is get the achievement, the most famous hedgehog in the world.
Oh, okay. Is there karaoke in this game at all?
There's not karaoke.
Darn.
And you can look up how to get that achievement and stuff if you want.
All right. Cool. I think I can do it.
All right.
Maybe. We'll see.
All right.
All right. Until next time.
Bye.
Bye. If you like our episode, please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or rate us on Spotify. We also do polls for every episode on Spotify, so if you want to answer those, like, that would be cool. And let us know if you played this game, and are you a fan of Tomb Raider? And do you like Lara Croft? Let us know. All right, anyways, till next time, bye!